You can finance a house, a car, a TV, and now even a Costco hot dog. Buy now, pay later. This is the business model of Klarna, and this company is everywhere. Every online store, every website. The Swedish startup raised billions in funding, has millions of customers, and even celebrity ads. Yet, somehow, they're dying. How did Klarna seem to take over the world, yet secretly can't turn a profit themselves? Our story follows one important man, Sebastian Ziemiakowski. In the early 2000s, Sebastian was working in debt collection. Not a flashy job, but he stumbled upon a common problem. His clients kept saying the same thing. We're going to stop selling on invoices because we don't get paid. There's too much credit loss. Essentially, customers were buying, but when it came time to pay, they couldn't. Businesses were eating a loss frequently, but there seemed to be a solution. Sebastian's client said to him, "If you guys can take the risk, we'll let you handle the transactions." Quickly, the gears in Sebastian's mind began to turn. If someone could pay it upfront for the customer, they could charge on the transaction and chase the customer's debt themselves. Win for the merchant and win for the debt collector. Sebastian pitched the idea to his company, but they weren't interested. So he quit his job and in 2005 enrolled in the Stockholm School of Economics with his friends Nicholas Adelbert and Victor Jacobson. These three were the co-founders of Klarna. They entered the school's entrepreneurship competition, but people didn't seem to get it. It would never work, and if it would, banks would just do it themselves, one of the judges said. The trio believed in the idea, but it seemed like no one else did. Worse still, the three were students, and students are broke. But then, their salvation came from an angel, or rather, their angel investor. Jane Wailrid, a famous Swedish angel investor. She offered them a solution, but the price was heavy. 60,000 euros in seed money for 10% of the company. Jane would also provide 5 tech staff to build a platform for 9 months in exchange for another 37% of the company. This was a lot of equity, and in the grand scheme of startups, not much funding, but it seemed like there was no other way. It was a tough decision, but we realized that we wanted to build something big, and we needed to give a lot of shares to enable it. Klarna was born, and very quickly, the Swedish startup began to boom. Venture capital poured in, from millions to tens of millions to hundreds of millions, and soon, even billions. They were ranked as one of Sweden's top 5 unicorns, and at the head of all of it was Sebastian. And with the rise of Klarna, we also saw the rise of a buy now, pay later. But how does it even work? Well, imagine you're a business owner. You add Klarna to your checkout and pay them 3-6% as a commission. They then offer the customer the option to buy now and to pay in multiple installments, paying 30 days or financing options as long as 36 months. The most common use though is paying for something in 4 installments. Buy now, pay later with no interest. From a shirt to a nice watch to even a Costco hot dog, when a customer buys with Klarna, Klarna pays the merchant for that product and then Klarna handles the customer. And quickly, it was everywhere.
That sounds like a payment you'd want to slice up. Here you go, doggy.
It was essentially a debt collection company, yet Klarna had become a huge brand.
Get cash back with Klarna.
They offered smooth ordering, and they weren't alone either. Similar companies like Afterpay, Laybuy, and Affirm were popping up, and existing giants like PayPal were jumping into the action. From 2019 to 2021, the number of buy now, pay later loans originated in the US by the 5 lenders surveyed grew by 970%, from 16.8 to 180 million. The dollar volume of those grew by 1,092%, from 2 billion to 24.2 billion. It was a buy now, pay later revolution. In total, Klarna raised over $4 billion in funding over 22 rounds. By 2025, they had partnered with over 724,000 merchants and passed 100 million active users. Yet, something about all of this seems off. There's something sinister about Klarna, and as it turns out, there's a darker side to this startup. Ever wonder where we find all the footage that we use in our videos? It's not just hours of filming. It's thanks to the sponsor of today's video, Storyblocks. Storyblocks is a stock media subscription that lets you download unlimited high-quality videos, images, music, and more. You don't pay per clip or track, just one flat fee, monthly or annual, and everything in their massive library is yours. No surprise charges, just creative freedom. Everything on Storyblocks is royalty-free and clearly licensed, so you never have to stress over copyright claims. Plus, with your subscription, you can whitelist your channel, so your content is safe. One of the best things about Storyblocks? Everything is created by real artists from around the world. Every clip reflects genuine experiences, crafted with care and creativity, so your videos feel more human and more powerful. I can honestly say that subscribing to Storyblocks is one of the best investments I've ever made. It has saved us thousands of hours when it comes to sourcing footage and editing. If you're a creator or want to become one, Storyblocks is a no-brainer. To get started with unlimited stock media downloads at one set price, head to storyblocks.com/logicallyanswered or click the link in the description. Thank you to Storyblocks for supporting our videos. Buy now, pay later sounds convenient and fun, but I would actually call Klarna everyday debt. Instead of financing big purchases you probably need to take debt on, like a car or a house, it's now everything. It sounds convenient and it can be a good thing, but most of the time it pushes customers to think, I'll deal with the consequences later and get the thing I want now. So what's the problem here? If you buy something, you need to pay for it, even if it's using debt. And if you can't pay, don't sign up, right? Well, a lot of the time, these are the more financially vulnerable people. They're often already in credit card debt and might not be financially literate. But Klarna doesn't mind, and it's suspiciously easy to join. Klarna doesn't ask you for much to get everyone to join, including the more vulnerable customers. The list of information required from the applicant is short. Buy now, pay later applicants are typically asked for their name, address, phone number, email address, and date of birth. Some lenders request the last four digits of applicant's social security number. Then, in the background, Klarna will do a soft pull for credit info that is not visible to other lenders and does not impact a consumer's credit score. So, joining Klarna doesn't affect your credit, which makes it alluring to join right now and to get the product you want straight away. It also means you'll likely borrow more money than you should. They simultaneously make things like loan terms or filing disputes extremely confusing or have large hurdles, but the real problems come when you're in the trap. If you do get into the habit of using Klarna, the multiple payments don't line up. They'll be charged from the date you bought the item. Consumer Finance calls this stacking, which can occur when a borrower takes out two or more concurrent buy now pay later loans from different lenders. While each individual loan may be manageable, the sum of those concurrent debts may lead to financial stress. You'll be juggling multiple debt payments every single week with automatic payments. To make matters worse, these services don't check your activity on other buy now pay later platforms. So if you're swamped in one like Klarna, others like Afterpay will still happily give you debt. Which brings us to the next problem, late fees. Klarna's plans are interest-free, but if you're late on a payment, you'll be charged $7 for every missed payment. Sounds fair, but remember, if you've gotten yourself into stacked Klarna debt, those are going to add up fast, because if you missed one, you're very, very likely going to miss more. This is how they make a huge chunk of their revenue, you missing your payments. The wider problem with this is that those in debt struggle to get out of debt. Buy now, pay later users are also disproportionately financially vulnerable compared to other debt. A study this year found that 41% of customers had been late on a payment, up from last year. But this is all part of the plan.
From Digna IT, so one question about the debt collection. Are you doing it by yourself, so have you outsourced it?
Yes, yeah, so that's one of our revenue stream. So actually, the best customer is the one that doesn't pay directly, but they actually get a reminder, and then also a debt collection letter, because we're able to add the legal fees, stately controlled fees in that specific country. So yes, we are our own debt collection firm as well, and we do that during a different brand, which is called Siguria, not to ruin our own brand.
That brings us to Klarna's financing options, which charge interest. Most credit cards have an annual percentage rate of 23.99%, but quite often, Klarna's will go as high as 35.9%. Klarna seems more convenient and more fun than credit cards, but it's actually way worse. They were even dragged into court for charging €1.20 just for a reminder email. So, with all that said, how is Klarna actually doing? Despite being absolutely everywhere and pulling people into more debt, they themselves seem to be in their own trap. This channel has 170 million views, but still hasn't crossed 1 million subscribers. That conversion rate is worse than people's buy now, pay later debt. It would be a dream come true to reach 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, and if you watching right now subscribe, that dream can actually become a reality. If you look at a glance, you might think that Klarna and these other companies are doing well. They reported $700 million in revenue in Q1 2025. In fact, their EBITDA says they made $3 million in profit. EBITDA is a useful tool for businesses, but here, Klarna's adjusted operating profit leaves out a lot of context. But Klarna sounds pretty confident. They just passed 100 million active users after all. Sebastian said that, "The momentum is undeniable. We're outpacing competitors, our merchant network is scaling rapidly, and our next-gen products are reshaping money management for millions." They reported that the longer customers use Klarna, the more often they use it, from 2x a year when they sign up to as high as 18x a year after 6 years. That's a lot of repeating customers, a lot of fees, and a lot of debt, not just for customers, but also for Klarna. This is actually the root problem. Ironically, while Klarna was luring people into debt traps, they fell into one themselves. Customer credit losses increased by 17%, totaling $136 million. This means more customers are failing to pay back their debt. When Klarna pays merchants upfront, they typically do this with their own debt. But with fewer customers repaying their debt, Klarna's debt is getting more expensive. Debt financing expenses climbed to $130 million in Q1 2025, up 15%. And keep in mind, that's not Klarna's debt. That's just the cost of their debt, like interest. Ironic as it sounds, Klarna has fallen into their own debt trap. $130 million cost of debt for just one quarter, which is slowly rising. It makes you wonder how massive Klarna's actual debt is. This brings us to the cold, harsh reality. Let's take another peek at those financials. While Klarna's EBITDA profit was $3 million in Q1 2025, their net loss was actually $99 million. And that's just one quarter too. What's even stranger is their revenue is up $80 million from this quarter last year, yet their losses almost doubled. Despite Sebastian's optimism, doubling your losses in just 1 year while making more money isn't a good outlook. And it's not just Klarna either. All the buy now, pay later companies are feeling this. Good EBITDA profits, but mountains of liabilities and mountains of losses behind the scenes. Klarna has thus been trying to cut costs, and the big one was staff. Their solution? AI. Klarna didn't hire anyone in 2024 because, in Sebastian's words, AI can already do all of the jobs that we as humans do. It's just a question of how we apply it and use it. Yet, just the next year, Klarna quietly walked back the stance and began hiring again. Turns out, their over-reliance on AI didn't bring a return or resulted in a massive drop in quality. But it gets worse. One of the saving graces Klarna was looking to was their IPO. Go public, raise huge amounts of funding, shareholders are happy. This was supposed to happen in early 2025, but it didn't. Supposedly because of the tariffs, Klarna postponed. But I'm not entirely convinced it's just because of the tariffs though. When a company files for an IPO, everything is on the table, and I think some hidden financials might have revealed how badly Klarna was doing, prompting them to push back the IPO. Of course, this is just my speculation. Maybe it was entirely the tariffs, but they did delay their IPO, and that's not a good sign. Klarna sounds great on paper. Get your item now, pay it off later sounds like a life hack, but it just entices more people into debt which they can't get out of. It might be a good solution to merchants and businesses, but it's still harming a lot of people. There are even issues I didn't have time to talk about, like them collecting information from customers who never even signed up, or how some users could view other customers' accounts and personal details. And let's not forget about Sebastian's strange LinkedIn controversies. It sounds tempting, but I'd recommend avoiding Klarna or Afterpay. Just pay for the things you buy in cash and you'll be better off in the long term. Ironically, companies often don't follow this advice themselves and sometimes get buried in as much as $100 billion in debt. Check out this video to learn about AT&T's debt crisis. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.